are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So we have been speaking about all things Christian rituals. So today we are continuing with that conversation. So Christian rituals themselves are not demonic. It is only when people mix different religions, practices and beliefs that the lines between Christianity and the occult are blurred, and the result may not accurately reflect Christian beliefs or practices. So we are unpacking this with my doctor, Dr. Mulowa, who's joining us on the line, my pastor Muribwanj.
Bueno, Muribwanj.
Niribuido. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, but I practice the greetings daily, man. I'm like, I will have the conversation, you know, in your language, my doctor.
I was in Sandton yesterday. So
We will talk offline. You don't come here and don't report to the studio with my doctor. You know, we could have had the conversation here.
All right.
So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, sure thing. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that you still grant us life, and you still grant us your continued direction, your continued protection, and your continued blessing. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So we've established, you know, what the rituals are, the Christian rituals are, you know, and a little bit of a difference between the Christian rituals and the other ones. And today we're looking at another issue related to them. So can Christian rituals be performed in a way that is inconsistent with Orthodox Christian beliefs?
Well, there's a tendency over time for people to deviate to the established norms.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe unintentional. And sometimes it's an innocent addition, which really sometimes the devil can make use of and become something sinister or something that drives us away from God. So yes, there is a possibility of derailing from the actual Christ-intended ritual, if I should say so.
So seeing that we have, you know, multiple denominations, you know, in the world when it comes to Christianity, are there now practices within some Christian denominations that appear to involve the use of symbolisms or actions that could be seen as connected to demonology or the occult, or something that will go like, ah, what are you doing?
Okay, so there's certain rituals that certain groupings of people, or even individuals, do engage in. Let's say, for example, we talked about anointing last time.
Mm-hmm.
So anointing can be used over an individual, over an object. Remember, people are anointed as kings. Certain objects during the Old Testament would be anointed, and so these would become set apart. But, you know, an object that has been anointed, let's say, or let's say at some point when Moses told the people of Israel, say, whoever is bitten by a snake should look at this serpent and live. Did look at it and live. And its use was just that. But if you check your scriptures, you discover that later on people began to worship that same brazen serpent. Okay?
Okay.
So it went above and beyond its purpose.
Mm.
Okay? Let's talk about meditation. Meditation is a good thing. I think the Bible does explicitly say, meditate on God's word.
Yes, yes.
It is not uncommon for people to use that as a pretext pretext to really open themselves up to the spiritual realm, and they empty themselves and let whatever can come in really.
Mm.
And we've seen people get even in the line of demon possession, unbeknownst to themselves, where they completely empty themselves. They use repetitive chants, and call upon whatever spirit would come. And remember that in as much as we are to empty of ourselves, we must be careful then what fills in that vacuum or that void.
Mm.
Okay? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, we are supposed to test the Spirit. So meditation often has this blurry line that you're not careful, you end up filling yourself with unscrupulous spirits, if I should call them.
Mm.
Okay. And even just the ritual of prayer, you know, I think Christ did quite delineate the fact that prayer should be, you know, prayer, you're talking to God, you're expressing your thoughts, your feelings, your hopes, putting your request to God.
Mm-hmm.
And he directly says, avoid vain repetitions as others do. So I think in certain circles, whether knowingly or unknowingly, they have adopted the repetitive culture of prayer, which is directly against what Christ admonitions. This is quite common even in our friends or in other religious beliefs. Sometimes they make either a cloth or even a bead
mm-hmm.
to help them repetitively. So look, it's not that God will not hear you, or will hear you better when you pray repetitively.
You must hear us well.
So Christ says, look, do not pray repetitive prayers as the heathens do, yes. Assuming by their words, then God will hear them.
Yes.
So that's some deviations that can come. It's, the ritual is prayer there,
mm-hmm.
but then it deviates from the norm, from as Christ intended it to be.
Mm.
Yeah. And even the other thing I would also love to mention is that burial. You know, I would also say burial is the ritual. Like, generally, in the olden days, if they see you burying someone, they would almost assume you're a Christian, because it was common for Christians to bury that.
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, different religions have a way of dealing with the dead. Others burn them. Others, so Christians generally would bury their people.
Mm.
They believe they would be resurrected in body form and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So even as we bury, people start having issues. They know, bury them facing the east, bury them facing the west,
mm.
bury them. I'm like, this, then they'll not rest well, or their spirits will not, things like that. And even concerning the dead and all, people would still have memorials, which in and of themselves may be innocent. But then you reach a point where you have memorials and start talking to the supposedly hearing dead person. You talk to them as a direct, directly, as though they would respond, and those they are hearing you.
Mm.
And so room for our speech to actually take hold sway and direct our lives in a way that is quite unbiblical and Christian, and possibly may lead us astray.
So looking at that, the lines do get blurry, like, quite often there. So can now individual believers or small groups engage in alternative practices of Christian rituals, you know, which could potentially be seen as spiritually dangerous or problematic? And what would those be?
Oh, yes, that is true. In fact, more often than not, we blur the lines when we're alone in those individual private spaces.
Mm.
So one thing to be done at maybe in a church setup, maybe for a particular event, maybe people light up candles. You go and take that kind of way, and every time you pray, you light up candles. So mm-hmm. for you, lighting up candles invokes the Spirit of God. But remember, like we said, we have the mediator, Christ Jesus, who hears us. Without candles, did I need candles around? Pray your prayers in Jesus and through the name of Christ, and definitely your prayers will be heard. But people might actually, maybe there was an event that happened in the church, maybe the candles were just to brighten the day or whatever reason they had, but you take it up and say, look, I'm praying with candles, because it gives you that solemn feel at home, that spiritual, you want to feel something as you're praying, you want to feel your nerves. Really making a beat, and you know, you know, you want to feel it. I know, especially in our African context, when there is something, you play the drums in a certain way, you want to even feel your blood rushing through and say, look, I think the spirit is moving, almost like some electricity going on in your body. But really, Christianity is not about healing. It's about relationship with God, okay?
Mm.
And I must say that you may feel less of a Christian, but that does not make you any less of a Christian. And there are times that you may feel more of a Christian, that does not make you more of a Christian.
Mm.
But really, it's about who is God in my life. And so people, yeah, do blur the lines in their own private spaces, sometimes borrowing from innocent rituals.
So are there examples, my doctor, you know, in history or contemporary times when Christian rituals have been intentionally twisted or distorted to create a sinister or malevolent effect, potentially varying towards the wrong belief systems?
It's not a surprise that we've got musical denomination. And so people, denominations came about because of misunderstanding of scripture, or rather people understanding them in different perspectives. And probably sometimes, unfortunately, it could be a power struggle between leaders and this one has to form his own way. And so to be different from the other, they decided to deliberately change. Allow me to state also that even the particular the day of worship, I think generally in Christ times was on the Sabbath. I would almost say worshiping on a particular day was a ritual. So if you read most of the New Testament, to tell you, and on the Sabbath day they gathered for such and such prayers. Okay, I'll meet you on the next Sabbath. And not to say that I'm not during the week, but there was a particular importance that was placed on the Sabbath day. Okay, but as times on, it seemed Sabbath was more attached to the Jews than Christianity, and there was a bit of a hatred for the Jews at some point. And so anyone who would be seen doing anything that seemed to be connected to the Jewish system was called a Judaizer, you know. And so in that context, someone would say, okay, look, not being the only reason, but people sought to change the way things were done. Look, if you go on a day that is similar to the Jews, then you'll be an accomplice, or rather you'll be a sympathizer for the Jews, and that didn't work well for the in those days. So, and there was the more favorable day that was working at hand, which is a more prevalent day now. The first day was chosen, and there was more preferential for the people even in that time. People changed because of the certain reasons which they held, and of course they others use that because Christ resurrected on that day, we should change it to that. However, it's not always in our power, unless God has given to change certain rituals. His own was placed them there in the first place. Or even take, for example, the aspect of baptism. I think Christ deliberately showed that one must be baptized deep in the water as a symbol of death and resurrection. But then later on, you notice that it is changed to something that will make it as light as convenient for you. So for convenience's sake, you just get some bit of water and sprinkle it on someone. I think now there are even others that probably jump over some fires or salute the flag or just over the phone, and somehow you can get baptized, which is a mark of distortion to the initial and intended way that that ritual should be done. Yeah, and I think because some of the things that I cited as examples.
We are losing you a bit there, my doctor. If you can maybe move your phone here and there so that we can find you here. So looking at the Christian rituals that we have, what is it that as people that we can do to make them not now to be Christian? Is it removing God from them, or there's really nothing that we can do to make them un-Christian?
So for these rituals, did I get your question correct? What can we do to, or what do we do to these Christian rituals to make them un-Christian? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, my doctor.
Okay, so really, it's about, you know, the Bible says you have made God's word of none effect by your own traditions.
Mm.
So it's because we're adding and subtracting things to what God has implicitly and sometimes explicitly put across.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was making reference to the fact that fathers, children are supposed to support their parents or do honor their parents. And yet the Pharisee that says, but if someone says, I'll give this money to God's cause, then I can forgo the fact that I need to take care of my parents. I need to honor them. Okay, so if it suits certain cause, then I can do away with God's direct command. And so, it's always the human instinct to find the most convenient way. So I would like to state that God's ways are not always convenient, but they're always the best. Okay, they're not always convenient, but they're always the best. Okay, so I'll give a practical example. So when God says, a tenth of all you have is mine.
Yeah.
So it's not convenient for most people.
Yes.
You'd want to have everything to yourself. But God says, no. Everything, even that which remains with you is mine. All I'm saying is give me a tenth to own everything. So every time you're returning, you're really acknowledging that everything that you own is God's.
Mm.
And so it's about convenience. It's really when we want to make everything convenient to us that we'll end up adding or subtracting what God has already put, and therefore we get derailed from the real essence of a ritual, and we tend to change our context.
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot. Guningi, as we say here in South Africa. So thank you so much, Doctor, for today's lesson. We have learned, and we will try, we will do our best, and we will do well not to make the Christian rituals to be something else. I'm going to ask now that, can you please pray for our listeners?
All right, thank you very much. We're praying. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have spoken. We have touched a lot of aspects about rituals and how sometimes we can change them or even do them contrary to your will. We pray that you may guide us and somehow bring us back to the right way. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my doctor. Till we chat again tomorrow as we wrap it up.
Thank you. Good day.
You are tuned into Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.